Good morning. Let me try it again. Good morning. Yeah, it's always a joy to be in the temple of God, in the church of God, and to just worship God. I know, you know, we're living in a very unusual time. I think I'm just recalling the normal days that we were in. We will look around at people, we will shake hands, and even we will hug. Maybe why don't you look, you know, a person beside you and say, "Good morning, God be with you." Wow, I hear some kids' voices. Yeah, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Thank God for giving us another opportunity that we can come together to worship Him. And it's always a joy. You know, I was just hearing the voices of kids. I was so excited and to know that, you know, we have kids also with us. Today, before coming to church, my wife and I, we were just praying. You know, we were praying that the hand of God will be upon each and every one of us who are here gathered today. And very specially, we were praying for the kids. We were praying the good hand of the Lord will be upon each and every one of the kids who is joining us today. Let's worship God, and before we look at God's Word, let's take a moment to ask God to help us as we look at God's Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is given to us. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word is so powerful, Your Word is so active, O God, and Your Word is so real. We pray, God, that our hearts will be aligned to Your Word, Father, and our lives will be aligned to Your Word. We pray that You'll continue to speak to us, O God, enrich us, motivate us, O God, even move us, Father, and help us to know that You are the only one who's able to do things in our life. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, I think all of us are fully aware we live in a world, there are so many unknowns that's in the world. But we thank God because through God's grace and God's ability and also with the wisdom that He has given to us, there are many times we are able to face the many things that comes across our life. Maybe the basic issues that we face or the basic problems that we face in our life. You know, God has given us wisdom. But there are situations in our life where we realize that we need the hand of God. We need the guidance of God, or even we need the intervention of God in our life. Without the presence of God, it is rather difficult for us to continue. You know, the passage that we want to look at today is from the book of Nehemiah. It's a great man. He was a builder. He's a powerful person in the political arena in those days. But he teaches us something about the importance of leaning onto God. You know, when I was looking at life and many issues that we face, if you realize, you know, when we come to a certain point in our life or certain need in our life, there are two things that we do. Either we react or we respond, right? When something hits us, there is a particular need or particular situation that we are in our lives, we either react or we respond. I was looking at a psychology article and I realized, you know, they say when person react, it is an immediate response. It is a response that comes from a subconscious mind. It's something like an autopilot. You do not know, but you just immediately react. You just say the words that comes out of your mouth. That's an immediate reaction without real knowledge, real thinking through or thought. But there is another group of people called the responders. In other words, they respond. Right? They dwell on the issue. For example, it is not immediate. They think through. They see what is the response is going to be. So they are not on an autopilot. They take time to dwell, give serious thought to it, and respond accordingly. And the book of Nehemiah is a book that teaches us about how, as Christians, we are not to react. Sometimes we react, but we are called to respond. So Nehemiah is teaching us about how we are to be thoughtful. We are to be taking time to respond in the way that God wants us to respond. Just to give you a background, what's happening in this particular passage that we just read, you know, Nehemiah is a very powerful figure. He can move anything. He was in the political, he was just next to the king. And he was so powerful that, you know, the king would always ask advice from Nehemiah. He was a person who can just ask the king for something and it could be done. But even then, Nehemiah is teaching us the importance of responding, a godly response to need. Just to give you a background, what's happening in this particular passage, I think as all of you know the history of Israel, you know, God's people were always loving God, but there were moments in their life they turned away from God. They were just bringing pagan gods into their life. And so what was happening, God sent prophets to warn them. And there were times they went back to God, but there were times they went back away from God. They were living a life totally away from God. So during the time of King Solomon, the kingdom divided into two kingdoms. I think you will know history very well. The 10 tribes were formed the northern kingdom, and there were two tribes that formed the southern kingdom, which is called Judah. And both the kingdoms became captive. The northern kingdom came captive by the Assyrians. The Assyrians came and swept them, right, and brought them as captive. I'm just teaching you some history lesson today so that you will know, you know, the passage that we are about to look at today. And then the southern kingdom came under the Babylonian captivity. But God, in His good ways, you know, in His ways, He heard the cries of the people. And so He brought them back. He brought them back and to the land. And it was, you know, they were in Babylon for 70 years and God brought them back. And the people were so excited because they were back. Can you imagine the excitement? They were back to their city. They're back to the place of their forefathers. And they started rebuilding their houses and they started rebuilding the place of worship and all that. But then what happened? After some time, you know, they just left the things of God alone. They went back doing their own businesses. And they went back, you know, rebuilding the temple of God or the walls of the city. And then finally they started, you know, living that to a halt. In other words, a total halt. More than 100 years, they were least bothered about God's walls, the city of Jerusalem, and even the temple. Can you imagine? They were crying to God and God answered their prayers. God was so powerful and good in their life. They started, you know, and then they left it totally in ruin and nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. And so it was more than 100 years. And this particular generation and came and spoke to Nehemiah. Nehemiah's brothers came to him and spoke to him. And this is the passage that we are about to see today. The two brothers, Hanani, and another brother came to see Nehemiah and to talk to him. Can you imagine? It was just 100 years. Some of you, if I ask you what you ate yesterday, you do not know, right? You don't know what you ate yesterday. If I ask you what did you do last week, we will say we do not know. Can you imagine? This is 100 years, more than 100 years. People will be least bothered. It's history. Probably we do not know what has happened in history. We are least bothered. But these brothers came and they spoke to Nehemiah. Hanani and his brother came and spoke to Nehemiah. And let's read Nehemiah chapter 1 and come some of the responses. When Nehemiah hears this, I think as a leader, as a church worker, as a person who loves the Lord, and this is what God wants us to respond to the things of God, my friend. Let me read. It says, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kishli, in the 12th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. Simple verse, but it talks volumes, my friend. As I said, it's more than 100 years. Why bother? It's nothing concerning me. Hanani came and said, Hanani should have said, you know, things are well with me. I'm in a good position. You know, I'm in the king's palace. I have access to all the king's things. But what is happening here? Nehemiah, you know, it says that he asked. Let me read. It says, I questioned them about the Jewish remnant. You know, when I was looking at the word very carefully, the first thing which I see is he was willing to ask. He was willing to ask. Nehemiah was willing to ask. And the word is a very powerful word. It was not just asking, you know, how are things at home? Or how are our people in Jerusalem? Or how are the walls of Jerusalem? You know, he did not ask in that manner. Sometimes we realize, you know, sometimes we ask for the sake of asking. We just ask for the sake of asking so that people don't get offended. That was not the attitude of Nehemiah. It was, it says, he asked, in other words, he questioned, you know the word in the Hebrew text is a very powerful word. He was anxious to know. He really questioned them. In other words, it was like shaking their shoulders and saying, you know, tell me what's happening to my people. Tell me what's happening to the city of God. I want to know. I think that was the kind of spirit that Nehemiah had. He really wanted to know what was happening in the lives of the people who came back and in the city of God. You know why? Because he was concerned about the city of God. He was concerned about the things of God. It is more than 100 years ago. Why bother? But Nehemiah was really concerned about the things of God. He could have said, you know, yeah, thank you for sharing. But he was questioning, probably he was asking them a lot of questions. What's happening? Where are the people? What's happening to their lives? What are they happening to their families? What's happening to the temple of God? What is happening to the walls of Jerusalem? Because in those days, walls protected the city. Walls were important. If there were no proper walls, there was no protection. The other nations will just laugh at them. And so he was willing to ask, my friend. He was willing to ask with the intention to help, with the intention to be involved. I think that is one of the godly response to a need and one of the important response of each and every believer has to do, the willingness to ask, what's happening? What's happening in the lives of the people in our church family? What's happening in our families? What's happening to this particular brother? Not just for the sake of talking about the particular person, but with the intention to help. I think that's which is important. What's happening in the world around us? What's happening to the brothers and sisters who are in the mission field? How are they doing? Recently, I came across an article, and let me tell you, I was really sad when I read that article. It in one of the Asian countries, let me not name the country. 150 pastors died because of coronavirus. And the churches were left without pastors. You know, when I was reading that article, I was really sad. I was really sad. And I didn't complete reading the article because it really bothered me. You know, my friends, I think sometimes, many a times we're just happy with our comfortable zone. But if we are a child of God, and this is what God wants us to have, God wants us to have a godly response to a need. We need to be finding out what's happening to our brothers and sisters in the mission field. How is the community of God, you know, going on in these times of need? How's our family? How's our church family? How's our brothers and sisters who are in need? Because Nehemiah was willing to ask. It's simple, but it's important. The way we ask is important. And Nehemiah asked with the intention to help. I think many of us know about William Carey. William Carey was a cobbler. You know, he had his shoe-making shop. But if you look at the life of William Carey, he was doing well. life was going on well. But in those days, you know, you don't have access to all the social media. You have instant information about what's happening in the world. But he lived in a time where you need to ask people what's happening in the world, right? Probably the letters would take months before it reaches. William Carey had a map at his shop, the back of his shop, a world map. He tried to get a world map. And, you know, he will talk to people who are coming from distant land. When he knew that the population of this particular nation, he will write it down on his map. And he will ask what's happening to the Christians. And so he was trying to fill his map with the information was as to what was happening in the world with fellow brothers and sisters. And he started praying for them, my friend. He was not collecting information. He was just wanting to pray. And history will tell you that he became a missionary. He went to India and he translated the Bengali Bible. You know why? Because he was willing to ask. He was willing to ask what was happening in the lives of the people. I think it's important for us as Christians, right? As I said last time, to draw our circle much more wider and to ask what's happening, not only to the in the church today, but to our community. What's happening in our community? What's happening in the world around us? How are our fellow brothers and sisters in other nations? How are our missionaries doing? How are things happening in their life? Is there something that we can pray? Is there something that I can do? I can support? I can help? That was Nehemiah. Secondly, you know, when Nehemiah heard, not only asked, as I said, he was a very powerful man, right? Let's read verse 3. It says, Nehemiah was not only willing to ask. In verse 3, he said, the brothers told him, right? They said to him, those who survived the exile are back in province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burnt with fire. And so when in verse 4, it says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. Can you imagine the reaction of this great man, a great powerful person, a person who can move things? When he heard, the passage tells us, he sat down. In other words, he was not able to stand the news. It really hit him hard. And he wept. He wept, my friend. He was disturbed. Not only he felt sorry for the people, or he felt pity for the people, you know, that shook him. It hit him hard. And it says he was in tears. He was in tears. I come from Asia. In Asia, in one of the things, you know, they say men shouldn't cry. Right? Man should always be strong, firm. Now you don't show your tears. Can you imagine Nehemiah, a powerful figure, a person who's able to do anything? He could have said, you know, let's do this. But it says, he sat down and wept. He sat down and wept, my friend. And that is what is missing in many Christians' life today. When was the last time you ever wept? When was the last time we wept when we heard about what was happening in the world around us, particularly in brothers and sisters who are suffering, my friend? When I attend funerals, I see people weeping, crying. That's normal. But when was the last time when you went to God and you start weeping for brothers and sisters who are suffering this world, for kids who are going through a rough time in this world, my friend, for youths, for young people who have been marginalized in so many communities? Like Nehemiah, when he heard what was happening in the city, what was happening in the lives of the people, you know, it really shook him. He wept. He wept. I believe weeping is something, I'm not saying that we all of us should weep, but I think it shows how he felt for the people. How he was shaken when he heard that was happening in the lives of the people. If you look at scriptures very carefully, you see weeping, right? That's taking place. When you look at Psalms, the Psalms of Lament, in other words, you know, the psalmist is just weeping in the sight of God. He says, Lord, I cried to you for help. Where are you, God? Can you imagine? King David is a king. It's a powerful king. He can do things with his words. But he was just weeping in the sight of God. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you look at the passage very carefully, if you read three times, right, he looked at Jerusalem. And the word says that he wept over the city. He saw the people like a sheep without the shepherd. Dear friends, Nehemiah wept in the presence of God. And he prayed for his people. When was the last time, I think, you feel really bad? You felt shaken when you heard what was happening to the lives of people. When you heard that someone is going through a tough time in their life. A family is getting broken. When was the time that you just wept in the presence of God and say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, we pray for your intervention. When was the last time? I think this is what we need. If you look at church history very carefully, without tears, there was no revival that took place in church history, my friend. People were in tears. When you read the church growth in Korea, there were some ladies who came to a certain mountain and started weeping in the sight of God, and God brought revival. I'm not saying just weep just for the sake of weeping, but weeping realizing that you need God's help. You need the intervention of God. And lastly, let me finish with this. Not only he wept, you could have just said, you know, I just feel sorry. And that was not only his response, but you see what was happening. It says he prayed, right? Simple but profound. He prayed for a few days. In other words, you know, when you look at the verse very carefully, when you look at the particular passage, I'm not going to dwell on the prayer of Nehemiah, but Nehemiah was willing to pray. The last thing is he was willing to pray for the people in this particular chapter. I believe all of us have heard sermons, numerous sermons about prayer, right? Probably you know passages from scriptures about prayer. But Nehemiah is teaching us some important basic principles. The first thing we need to ask with the intention to help. Secondly, are we weeping? Are you crying in the presence of God and saying, Lord, I need you. I need your intervention. And thirdly, Nehemiah is praying. Nehemiah is praying, my friend. You know, when you flip this page, right, it's chapter 2. But within chapter 1 and chapter 2, it's 4 months. In other words, for 4 months, Nehemiah had been praying. He'd been interceding for his people. That's why in chapter 2, when he appears before the king was able to see that Nehemiah was sad. And you will see it in the next week, we will look at it. You know, and for the 4 months, he was just interceding in the presence of God, my friend, for his people. There was a season of prayer. He was praying. He could have said, you know, let me talk to the king and let me see some kind of solution. You know, many times we look for solution easily, but he realized the best solution is to go into the presence of God. He prayed for nearly 120 days, and he completed the task in 52 days. But sometimes it's the other way around, right? When we know, we immediately respond by doing things. Nehemiah could have done that, but no. He was praying for 4 months. Kishli and Nisan is around 4 months, my friend. He was just praying and praying and praying. That's the power of prayer, my friend. He prayed to God to help. We pray, and all of us pray, but how's our prayer? Are we praying earnestly like Nehemiah? Are we praying, you know, in very persistently in our prayer? I'm teaching on the Lord's Prayer. You know, when you look at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is teaching about the Lord's Prayer, and he's actually giving an illustration when he speaks about the Lord's Prayer. It's about a man who knocks at his friend's house. He wanted a loaf of bread, right? He's so persistent. He's persistent because he wants bread. And that's what God wants us. You know, Nehemiah was praying, and he was praying. Sometimes we are very situational, right? We pray because we are in church. We pray because we are in a small group. We pray when we gather in a small group. We pray because as fellow brothers, you know, when sisters we gather, you know, we have to pray because, you know, because if not, someone will say something. But do we pray alone? How's our prayer life alone, my friend? It's easy to pray in a church because you have to. Because if in a church, you have to pray. In a small group, you have to pray. But how's our prayer life when you're alone? When you're alone with God? Are we like Nehemiah, just spending 120 days praying, interceding for his people? You know, he got so many things to be done. His plate was full with responsibilities. There are so many things. He has to make sure that the king's needs are met. He has to advise the king. You know, I got so much things to do. But Nehemiah had much more. But he knew the importance of prayer. He prayed. I was reading about a small boy, and he was speaking to his pastor. You know, the pastor was talking to him about prayer. And so the small boy told the pastor, you know, "Pastor, you know, I pray at night." "Oh, that's wonderful. Why do you pray at night?" He said, "You know, I pray at night because I'm afraid of the dark. And so I pray at night." Then the pastor asked him, what about during the daytime do you pray?" He said, "I don't pray during the daytime." "Why?" "Because I'm not afraid of the daytime. It's so bright. Everything is normal. It's only at night I'm afraid." He was very sincere. But sometimes you realize we are like the small boy, right? Pray when in times of difficulty and struggle. What about the daytime? What about the time when things are normal? When things are okay, right? When things are normal in our life. I was reading a book, and this author says, you know, there are sometimes people don't pray because, you know, they are self-righteous. They think they're good. So I don't need to pray. The author also says some people don't pray because they're self-sufficient. They think, you know, I have the means. I have. I come from a postmodern world. I have access to so many things. My bank balances are well and good. I've secured investments for the future. I'm self-sufficient. Or sometimes they also say I'm self-satisfied, right? Everything is okay with me. Dear friends, Nehemiah could have said that, but he prayed. He prayed. And he prayed because God's intervention was important. Simple but profound truths that we see. We need to be asking with the intention of helping. We need to be weeping in the sight of God and just throwing our hearts to Him and banging the door of God to be merciful and praying persistently, earnestly, and asking God to help us. Simple things, but it's important, my friend. And let me close with this illustration. I was reading about this man. He's more like a violinist. How do you say it? Violinist? Violinist, okay. Yeah, but he was a cellist, right? He played a particular violin kind. And this man, you know, he was so famous. His name was Pablo Calas. Yeah. During the 20th century, he was so famous. He was famous in his time. And even in today's world, he was a known figure. well-known man, right? If he takes the instrument, you know, he would play. And people would be astonished. He was a great player. He was a composer. He was also a conductor. Even at the age of 95, he continued practicing for 6 hours. 95. He was so good. There was no one who could come near him. So powerful. Even at the age of 95, you know, he practiced for 6 hours. And someone asked him, you know, why do you do that? You're so good. Right? Why do you still practice for 6 hours? And you know, he said these words, because I think I'm making progress. Because I think I'm making progress. Yes, my friend. What we heard today are simple things. But it's important for us. These are Christian things, values that we should be doing. We need to be asking with the intention of helping. Asking with the intention of praying. Weeping in the sight of God. Interceding in the sight of God. For not only people around us, but for people in far land. At the same time, praying in the sight of God. Earnestly, persistently, knocking at the door of God. Because only God is able to do. Because I think I'm making progress. Yes, we need to continue to do this and the Lord will help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for Nehemiah. We thank you, Lord, for the message that we heard through Nehemiah, God, or the lessons that we heard from Nehemiah. Help us, O Lord, to be people willing to ask, sincere, with the intention of God, to help, to pray, to intercede, God. And so, Lord, we pray that you will give us eyes with tears, O Father. Help us, O Lord, to just come before you with tears in our eyes and just to seek you. Lord, you looked at Jerusalem and you were in tears. Help us, O Lord, to be broken, Father, for our people, for our land, for nations that are suffering, O God, for young lives, and also, Lord, for Christians around the world. And help us, O Lord, to be fervent in our prayer. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.